I want to thank Dustin for sharing those memories of Adam and Kara for that beautiful song that surely brings great peace and comfort, I believe, at this time. On behalf of Adam's family, I thank you very much for supporting them by your attendance here in person today. I understand that many others are also joining by means of the live stream. I cannot see your faces, but we thank you for joining here and supporting this time as well. In the New Testament book of John, chapter 11, we step into a time of sorrow and of confusion. This Bible story involves a brother, two sisters, and a very close family friend. And it so happens that the friend in this chapter is Jesus Christ himself. I'll read for you here, John chapter 11, verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. These sisters sent for the Lord Jesus Christ because their brother, whose name was Lazarus, was sick. And they said, we know you love him. Can you come and help? I'd like to look at this briefly here today, the account of the Lord's love for his friends in John chapter 11. Heavenly Father, we ask God that you would, as we come close to the end of this memorial service for Adam, that, Lord, we would, from these scriptures, gain some important truth. Lord, it's a time of sorrow and confusion, and certainly the time that we're in now for many is a time of sorrow and a lot of questions. I pray, God, that as we look through your word and hear some things that you said to those during this time, that we might be able to take them and find in you a comfort and a peace that we can find nowhere else. Please be with the family during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Mary and Martha realized their brother Lazarus was sick, they sent their close friend Jesus, but by the time he arrives, their brother and Jesus' friend, who he loved, Lazarus, had died. In fact, he'd been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived. Death, especially death, comes unexpectedly, often causes us, and probably all the time, causes us to ask the question, why? Most of us in here probably have the remembrance of a family member or a friend that passed away suddenly. And if we did not before this day, we do now. I remember getting a phone call in the Christmas season from a close family friend of ours, and was distraught. And the call, can you please come out? My 5-month-old's passed away. And when we got out there and talked with her, she was asking why. It was through no fault of her own, and that her baby passed away in her own home early that morning. But the question why surely was prominent and understood. Remember hearing about lived through a very close friend, right about my age, that also passed away very suddenly. He had a family. And that suddenness affected friends, but it really affected the family as well. And I remember with many others during that time asking that question, why? Why is a place that I believe is inevitable that we will all go to at some point and often fairly frequently in our own lives? That place of why may be a cemetery where someone that you love lies. Maybe they passed away, as we might say, before their time. It could be that the why is not among those that have passed, but the why could be a place or a memory or the thought of a fractured relationship with the person yet living in response to that difficult situation. You find yourself asking, why? Why is this the way that it is? When memory of these places or events come into our minds, we ask why. But we're not alone in that. In the book of Psalms chapter 10, we find the writer there out of an anguish of heart saying this in a prayer. Why standest thou far off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? And then later, again, in Psalm 88, verse 14, the psalmist here says, Lord, why casteth off my soul? In times of great turmoil and trial, the question why is very prominent. And I believe that coming to this place of why is a part of living in this sinful and fallen world. Not only the question why do we come to in times like this, but also in times of great loss, we come to the question of if. The statement of if I had just done something differently, this would not have happened. If I had just said this, everything would be different. Boy, our hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? We hear those if questions rolling through our mind and come back again and again. In fact, that's exactly what the two sisters here in John chapter 11, each individually brought to Jesus about the death of their brother Lazarus. First, Martha meets Jesus in verse 21, and she says this, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Oh, just if this would have been different, he would be here. And then later, in verse 32, Lazarus's other sister, Mary, says basically the same thing when she says, Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was at and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. These heartbroken sisters just felt if there was circumstances were different, they would still have their brother. What does Jesus do when he realizes this family is certainly asking themselves why, and then asking the what ifs about the circumstances that they find themselves in? Here's what he does. In verse 33, When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And then later, the shortest verse in the Bible, he wept. He met their sorrow with sorrow of his own. He understood the whys. He understood them asking the what ifs. That tells me Jesus understands our whys. Yes. He understands the what ifs that often rehearse themselves again and again in our minds. And I'm sure we'll never fully be free from those thoughts, those questions in this life. So to come to the place of why, the place of if, is understood in times like this, just as Jesus understood it when his close friend Lazarus had passed away. However, I also believe that God does not intend for us to stay at the place of why and if permanently. He doesn't wish us to stay there too long. It's a place to learn from, but it's not a place to live at. May I encourage those of us either that have been in or are in right now the place of why or if, that the Lord offers another place for us to go to for comfort and for joy. And this the Bible describes as a place of knowing. There are some things we may never know, but there are some things we can know for certain, and the Lord gives us those things. And that, in the midst of trial and sorrow, is good news. Jesus provides us assurance that we can know, in John 8:32, the truth. The Bible says there, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You can know the truth. I can know the truth. We can know the truth that sets us free from the condemnation of sin. The Bible also says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not an if, not a maybe, not a hope so, but that ye may know that you have eternal life. This life, a lot of whys, a lot of ifs, but also on God's authority, a lot of I know. I can know the truth. I can know that I have eternal, everlasting life. In fact, Jesus shares this important truth with these two grieving sisters in our very same passage here in John 11. He knew they were saying, if you had been here, he knew their deep sorrow, and he wept with them, and he groaned in his spirit. He was troubled along with them. But that wasn't the end of what he did. Listen to what he told these that were there at that time that they could know. In verse 25 of John chapter 11, the Bible reads this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. That sounds different from what she's seen right there. She's seen death. He says, I'm the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He, in the midst of their sorrow, talks about life, talks about everlasting life, talks about not dying. And he says, believest thou this? We might say, do you believe this? Do you believe this? He wanted them to ask themselves that question. Could I ask all of us in here today and watching, would you ask yourself that question? Do you believe that whosoever believeth in Jesus Christ shall never die, will be resurrected, will have life eternal? The fact of the matter that while there are some things we may never know, there are some things we can know absolutely. God's provided for us in this passage one of those things, and that's this. On his authority and his word, you can know that you have everlasting life. You can know that your sins are paid for. I just learned yesterday something that Dustin shared in his testimony about the life of Adam. That ironically, Adam and I shared an event in our lives. The event was spread apart by a number of years. But the event that we shared was the fact that both of us, when we were approximately 18 years old, traveled to the country of Romania. And for basically the same purpose. It was called a missions trip. But that simply means that the purpose of going was to tell people in that country that Jesus Christ loved them and died on the cross in their place. We would both have given gospel tracts to many people during that trip. Tracts, pamphlets, we might say, such as this one. This tract is called the Amazing Grace tract, and it tells the story of a man that's converted, and then it shares the scriptures behind the scriptures that show someone how that they can be saved. We would pass these out. The special that was chosen to be sung for Adam's service highlighted that truth, God's grace. Grace is receiving something we do not deserve. The gospel tract, Amazing Grace, after him, you might be familiar with. A man's confronted with the offer of salvation, and he gets saved, and his life changes as a result. Tracts like this have messages in them that point people to God's plan of salvation. For instance, in this tract, one of the points is this: we are all guilty of sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned. I believe we understand that. I believe we understand that all of us have at some point or another broken one or more of the Lord's commandments, and often time and time again, all have sinned. The tract goes on to tell us the Bible truth that this sin must be punished. The Bible says the wages, we might say the payment for sin is death. This death is further described in Scripture as an eternal separation from God forever. Tracts like this that Adam may have passed out when he was in Romania don't end with that bad news. It switches and tells the good news. The good news is that God loves all of us and offers everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this salvation, to be saved not only from the penalty of sin, but to obtain an eternal home in heaven, is yours to receive. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, my friends, I ask you this most important question today. If today should happen to be your last day on this earth, where will you spend eternity? God's word says, appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Oh, many people say, well, that's something I'll take care of later. We understand, don't we, today, that we do not know our appointed time. There's an appointed time for every single one of us, but none of us know when that is. May I encourage you not to miss an important truth from the sudden passing of a friend, a son, a brother, a cousin, Adam. Later simply may never come. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And while no prayer is a magic formula, let me just explain this. Throughout the ages, many have come to salvation by meaning a prayer in their heart to God, a prayer such as this. Dear Jesus, I realize I've sinned against you and that I face eternal punishment. I'm sorry for my sin, and I believe that you died to forgive me. Please come into my life, cleanse me, change me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. In the back foyer on the way out, we've placed a number of these Amazing Grace tracts. Explains the message of salvation. If you do not know the Lord personally, whether listening here or watching from abroad, today can be your day of salvation. Our church is easy to contact, and there's not a person here that would not love to further explain to you this most important truth. For some of you that only know someone from Adam's family, the invitation is extended to you also. Reach out, call, text, make a contact. There is simply nothing more important in this life than to be prepared for the next life. If you do know the Lord, would you consider a response to this real life reminder today of the brevity of life? Would you consider that? Will you commit yourself to sharing the gospel personally, actively, and consistently? Don't we owe that to his memory? There are a number of these same tracts out on the foyer ready for you to take as well, and tracts other places. But maybe today has reminded you of someone that you know that doesn't know where they will spend eternity. Who will tell them but you? Who will tell them but me? Let's do something about it. Let's do something about it soon. Because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And one step from this life, as was mentioned, out of this life is a step into eternity. A separation from God or an eternal, blissful home in the most wonderful place we can, more than we can imagine, place of heaven. I'd like you to consider that thought as we go to prayer here just for a moment. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, I don't know where I'll spend eternity. I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, but I sure know this life doesn't last forever. I sure know that this time on this earth will soon pass. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you ponder that truth? Would you ponder that thought? Would you bring that before the Lord and understand that God has provided for you a way of salvation? Heavenly Father, we pray in this service, if there's one that does not know you as their personal Savior, they've never come to a point in time in their life where they said, Lord, I'm a sinner and my sin deserves punishment, but you gave yourself on the cross as a perfect substitutionary sacrifice. I trust you. I believe that. Come into my heart and save me today. Lord, I pray that if there's one here today that does not know you, they'd bring that simple prayer of faith to you. And then, Lord, they would share that with Rich, with Vonda, whose heart, Lord, would be thrilled to know of someone that comes to you through a service like this. Heavenly Father, for those who do know you, we pray that we would, in a real way, put action to what we know. We know time is short. We know life is but a vapor. We have a responsibility. Lord, burn in our heart the importance of sharing the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.